Hey, I want to do this final session on overcoming fear. I trust you've been getting something out of this. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, of course, is our base scripture. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And another scripture I want to look at here is, for you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then in Hebrews 2:15, of course, they've been talking about Christ dying in 14 up above. But then in 15, it says, he in the last part of verse 14, it says, he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjects to bondage. Now, we understand that God does not want us to have a fear. He doesn't want us to be afraid. Actually, because of what Christ done on Calvary, we don't have to be in bondage to fear anymore. And I want us to look and realize, remember we talked about fear as a spirit. It's a religion, it's a spiritual thing. Now, look at the Israelites were afraid. And here, they were afraid of they were afraid of God. They were afraid of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. They were afraid of their enemies. And they seemed to be afraid of everything and anything they didn't understand. But that's not much different to today. When something is a mystery, sometimes we become afraid of it. They lived their lives by what they saw, heard, and experienced. And that's what you call being natural-minded. If you're too natural-minded, you will get into fear. Now, I realize that we live in a natural world, and we have some natural things that we have to be in contact with. But there's also the spiritual side. And, you know, and I talked to you already about this, but some people are too much in the natural and some people are too much in the spiritual, when actually it's right here. You got to run both tracks at the same time, because we are spiritual and we're natural at the same time. Now, there's some natural things you better be afraid of. If you step out in that street out there and you see an 18-wheeler bearing down on you, you better be afraid and get out of the way. You know? And in the natural, if you see, I guess I'm sort of silly. I got all the employees down into the safe room there and this is when Dad was still alive. Dad and I were outside watching a tornado go by over there, you know. Hey, you better begin to be fearful of the tornado, but then you're on the other side. Don't be so fearful that you can't take the Spirit of God and command it to stay away from you. That's what we were pointing at the thing and saying, hey, you stay away from Rhema property. Hello? How many understand what I'm trying to say to you? Okay. You know, because they had fear in their life, it actually was because they were going by their five physical senses. And, you know, as even today, if a person goes by what they see, hear, feel, fear wants to rise up in you. You know, that's why we must deal with fear from a spiritual perspective. Fear is not a natural force. It says that fear is a spirit. The spirit of fear. Doesn't it what it says? Huh? Therefore, it has to be dealt with spiritual weapons, not natural. You know, you can't whip the devil with in the natural. Hello. You can't use a gun to shoot him. You can't use a vehicle to run away from him. You can't build a big building strong enough to keep him out. So if you're going to deal successfully with fear, you got to use spiritual weapons. And thank God we have the spiritual weapons. We have the authority of the believer. We've been given that authority by Jesus Christ. He said that he gave us his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we that's been born again by him. He give us the authority to walk over the enemy. There's no use to be afraid. Don't have a spirit of fear, but deal with it. Now, first of all, the Israelites had an abnormal fear of God. Now, you find some people like that. They were terrified of God instead of being reverent. You see, there's a healthy fear of God. That's awe and reverence to God. But there's an unhealthy fear that comes from not understanding and knowing God personally. You know, when God spoke to them, you remember in the mountain, they were terrified of God. Instead of reverence him, they become terrified. Exodus 20 and 18 says, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but do not have God speak to us or we'll die. They were in fear. They were in terror of God. And then Moses reminded them, again there in Deuteronomy 5, 2, the Lord made a covenant with us at Horeb. It is not with our fathers that Lord made the covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. For the Lord spake to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. You see, they become terrified instead of standing in awe. They refuse to get to know God personally. So they asked Moses to be the go-between. You don't have to have a go-between. You can go to God personally. You can talk to God on a personal level. You see, if you don't know God on a personal level, yeah, it can become almost a fearful thing because you don't know him personally. Have you ever been, you know, afraid of a dog? And the master and the owner of the dog said, hey, here, just get to know him. He won't hurt you. Yeah. See, some people have got the idea that God is ready to slap them down. No, you get to know him, you'll find out he's your friend. Amen. Now, you go in my backyard, I got a great big old Pyrenees mountain dog named Lucky. Now, Lucky weighs about 100 pounds, maybe a little over 100 now. I don't know, he gained a little weight. And he's got paws about that big, and if he stands up, he can put his front paws on your shoulders. He's got a ferocious bark, but he is as friendly as everything. He won't hurt him, but people are afraid of him because when they see him, they're afraid of him. Sometimes when people see God start to move, rather than thanking God, they get afraid. You know, there are people that subscribe to certain things that the Bible says, but when they see it actually happening, they get afraid. Anybody ever seen anybody like that? I see some people shaking their head. I know Tony there, I know he's been a pastor. And you see this with people. Actually, I've seen it with people. They're praying, oh, God, move in my family, move, save, so and so. And when God starts moving miraculously in that family, instead of them rejoicing, they get afraid. Come on. How many understand where I'm coming from on this? See, if you're terrified of God, you'll draw back from the very source that can help you to be free from fear. See, if you're in fear, you become in the perspective of God as being critical. How you look at God determines how you look at other things. If you're terrified of God, you're going to be terrified of other things. If you have faith in God, You're not going to be in fear, but you're going to be in faith. See, fear and faith can't work together. You can't have faith in God and have fear at the same time. Now, you can have an awe of God, but I'm talking about a fear. You know, the Israelites were afraid of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army and the other nations who were their enemies. It says here in Exodus 14:10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. They were so very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. See, God had to continually remind them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times, even in the New Testament, do you see when God begins to move in a supernatural way, he had to tell them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some, in the New Testament, sometimes when the angel of the Lord would appear to talk to somebody, first thing he'd say to them, don't be afraid. Because he could see that they were fearful. You see, sometimes when things begin to happen, people get afraid. And God had told them, don't be afraid, Deuteronomy 7:18. But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials and the miraculous signs and wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the people you now fear. See, he's telling them, hey, you've seen the Lord do all of this. Why are you being afraid now? See, evidently they got afraid of some. They were afraid of the people. Don't be afraid of them. He's talking about them that's coming against them. And he goes on talking about the mighty hand of God, the outstretched arm of the Lord brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all these people you now fear. See, we've got to go back and remember what God done for us. And what God is doing, and don't fear. Then in Deuteronomy 21:4, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them. There he is again. When you have trials and tribulations and situations, don't be afraid. It's the same thing. We're saying, because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. The Lord your God who's delivered you this far will be with you. Don't be afraid. When you're about to go into battle, he told them, the priest will come forward and address the army, and he shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Now, you don't have a priest going out and talking, but you got the Holy Spirit. As you study and read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will say to you, "Don't be afraid. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can overcome." Hello. Amen. Don't be afraid. See, sometimes it looked like certain defeat for Israel, but trusting the unseen God changed it from certain defeat to victory when they shouldn't have won. God can turn it around for you, so don't fear. I'm telling you, don't get in fear. Get in the Word. Fear will bring defeat, but trust in God will bring victory. Sometimes it looked like certain defeat. But you see, we're not walking by what we see. We're walking by what the Word says. I imagine that Brother Grady has a great opportunity to get in fear. I see him shaking his head and smiling. Because the enemy sometimes is all around. But he can't afford to get in fear. He has to stay in faith for protection. We need to realize, don't get in fear. You do natural things that are necessary. Some of that's, whenever they start telling you something about, you know, storms coming and so forth, don't go outside. Hey, do the natural thing, but also do the spiritual thing. See, you get in fear, you won't do the spiritual side, you do the natural side, and you're vulnerable. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. I mean, when they talking about tornadoes around. If you remember, one Wednesday night, there were about six or seven of them dancing all over the place around this city. In fact, Lynette had broken her ankle, and I was getting ready to leave. She's going to stay there, and she didn't want me to leave. And they was telling everybody, so we got in one of our areas at our house that was a safe area. But we're just doing in the natural what you need to do. But in the spiritual, we can't. No tornado going to come here. And I think Tad had to get all the people here at church and got everybody started praying. And you do what you're supposed to in the natural, but then you don't get fearful. Then you go on the spiritual side and begin to command the thing to don't come around here. And that night with all of them all around, I think it's six, seven tornadoes that were hitting everywhere all around. None of them ever touched any Rhema property. And I don't know of any of the Rhema church members that got touched. Because see, I can't take charge of your property, but I can agree with you. So if you, and I always say, I agree with all of the church members. And then y'all need to agree with me and the staff for the Rhema property. Because you can be sure when they give the warning that pastor, one of the first things out of his mouth is, all Rhema property is protected by the power of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? My wife will tell you, that's the first thing I start doing. And then I start protecting my personal property. That's what you need to do. And then you need to protect your personal property and then agree with us like I do. After that, the next part of my prayer is agreeing with all of you. And I pray for, when I pray for all of our Rhema missionaries all over the place, I say, Lord, I agree with them. I agree with them as they stand in faith for their protection. I agree with them for wisdom to know what to do, when, where, and what. Hello. See, I'm not there. I'm not in charge there, but I can go in agreement with them. They have to, what I'm trying to tell you is you can't get in fear. You got to be in charge. Remember last week I was talking about if you panic in fear, you become paralyzed. You don't do anything right. We don't have a spirit of spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Amen. So that tells me that when you get into fear, you don't have any power and you don't have any sound mind. You can't think straight. Come on. See, don't forget what God can do. Don't forget what God has done. If he's done it once, he'll do it again. Hello. Now, let's close this thing out here. What lessons can we learn from these Israelites? First of all, we can learn to have a reverence for God. That is there's a fear, a awe, reverence of God. But we don't have to be terrified of God. Have you ever met people their concept of God is he's sitting up there with a big fly swatter, and if you mess up, he's going to slap you down. Have you ever met people with that kind of concept? Let me see your hand if you have. Actually, that comes sometimes from religious teaching. That's not in line with the Bible, but in line with religious traditions. And we have to be careful as charismatics and faith people that we don't get tradition rather than what the Bible says. Amen. Come on now. Now, an abnormal fear of God opens the door for other fears to come into your life. But the proper fear of God then opens the door for victory in your life. Being governed by your five physical senses will lead you into fear. Fear brings defeat. Trusting God brings victory. I'm going to say that again. That's good. Fear brings defeat. Trusting God brings victory. Fear brings defeat. Trusting God brings victory. So, We need to realize that we can live free from fear if we will trust in God. Fear will paralyze you, like I said. It's a spirit. So you deal with the spirit by the Holy Spirit. You deal with fear because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is greater than fear. He's greater than any enemy. He's greater than any trial. He's greater than anything that can come against you. So let's take heed from the word of God. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. How many times you ever read that in the Bible? Huh? Oh, I got about 30, 40 people raise their hand. They've read that in the Bible. How many people have read in the Bible over and over again? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Why do you think that it's in there so much? Part of it is in there is because when miraculous things would happen, the angel that came to deliver the message said, don't be afraid because it's out of the ordinary. And that is the natural reaction, and the natural is to get into fear. I mean, right now, if a big angel appeared right here in the spirit world, some of you would, if we might not all. Come on, because it's way out of the ordinary. What I'm trying to tell you, when the out of the ordinary happens, that's what miracles are. That's what deliverance and stuff from different situations is. Don't be afraid. Begin to praise God. Fear will drive you to make statements that you really don't believe. See, in the end, it was fear that kept these children of Israel out of the promised land. They became afraid of the giants. And Joshua and Caleb tried to talk to him about it and said, look, the same God that gave us food, that gave us water, that helps us defeat the enemies, because they had to go through many battles, and they had won when the armies that they had fighting against was 3 and 4 times larger than what they were. They should have lost. They said, don't be afraid of the giants. Caleb, Joshua said, their defenses has already departed from them. All we got to do is go in there. And when we go in there, God will go with us. And he's the one, he'll make us bigger than we really are. You know, we need to realize that the bigger ones on the inside of us. So out of fear of the giants, that whole generation from 20 years up never went into promised land. Their children, their young people that they said that was, oh, if we go over there, they'll die at the hand of the enemy. We'll go in and they'll take the land. You unbelieve. He called that when they got in fear, he called it unbelieving. He said, actually paraphrasing it into our language, he said, not believing. How long will I put up with this not believing congregation? He said, because of your unbelief and your fear, you're not going to see it. But those that you said were afraid that they would get killed by that, but they will go in and they will subdue the land and take it. And you're not going nowhere except right here. And you're going to die right here in the wilderness. You said, would to God, it would be better for us to die. That would be our way. We would say it right here. And he said, you're going to do it right here. That's where you're going to cash it in right here, because that's what you said out of fear. So if you want to live with fear, then go ahead. That's basically what he told them, isn't it? That's basically what it's telling us. But hey, we don't have to live with fear. Because they didn't deal with the fear and trust God, they didn't get what they want, what they left Egypt to get. So don't let fear keep you from overcoming. Learn that God has promised his blessing, like he promised them. But because they were afraid, they didn't get it. So refuse to be afraid and determine to trust God and not fear. Believe that God wants you to have everything that he said was yours. And when fear comes in, resist fear. Say, fear, you have no place. You spirit, you foul spirit of fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off of my life. You have no right or no authority here. I have authority over you. I will overcome because I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up and thank God because we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have power and love and a sound mind. We overcome because we are not fearful, but we are in faith, knowing that in faith we drive out everything. Hallelujah. That would come against us. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Well, did anybody get anything out of these three sessions on fear? Don't let fear come in. Don't let fear of the political situation come in. Don't let fear come in. Do your part. Go vote like you're supposed to. You know, I heard somebody saying that they'd rather lose their Christianity and vote for a certain candidate. And I thought, how stupid can you be? It was a Christian magazine writing it. But anyway, hey, do what you need to do in natural. Don't let fear overtake you. Don't let fear of anything overtake you. We live together in the spirit of power and love and sound mind, not in the spirit of fear. Amen. Praise God. Hey, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you don't understand what I'm talking about, but you will as soon as you find Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life to God, hey, if you're here and you need to know so experience, the people are here to pray with you. If you're here and you need somebody to pray with you about that you've been yielding to the spirit of fear, come down here. They'll pray with you. Hey, don't, as we dismiss, come down for any, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever. Holy Spirit, healing, whatever. All right.